Take your Bibles with me, would you please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. We're going to turn to this very familiar passage. Many of you might have, if you haven't memorized it, you're at least familiar with it. And we're going to look at it this morning. And I have to confess again that when I did my studies on this, it's all here. All right. This has got a lot of the scripture verses that I looked up in the preparation of my message. And then I thought, man, I can't put all those scriptures in my sermon. And so you get to go home and look up all the stuff that I did in the background for my message today. And I thought, no, I gotta try to cut that back a little bit. And so I did, to come up with what we have this morning. We still got five, characteristics of the Word of God that we're going to look at this morning. But anyways, I think it's going to be good. And I'm looking forward because this is a great passage to preach. And Paul's got even a better passage next week, for him to preach. That's a great passage out of Hebrews as well that Paul will look at next week. But, anyways, if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." May God add blessings to his word as we look at it this morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you this morning for the word that you have given to us, for the blessing that we have in the study of it, and as well the promises that you give through it. And Father, this morning we are thankful for the fact that you have given to us your word by which we can know what you desire for us to do. You have spoken unto us in your word and by your word. And Father, my prayer this morning would be that your spirit would now be able to speak through me as I address that word which you have given unto us. So speak through me now to your people the importance and the impact of the word which you have given unto us. So that, Father, we might be those who are not just hearers, but those who are willing to do it. And so, Lord, speak through me now, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, to whom all glory is due. In his matchless name, I pray. Amen. All right. I want to begin this morning by asking you, how many of you, join with me, how many of you, you can raise your hand on this one, how many of you have had a surgery of some type? All right. Several of you have said you've had surgery of some type. Now, I've had a couple of years ago, I had a hernia surgery. And then, of course, when I jumped off a 10 foot and broke my leg, I had surgery done on my ankle. And how many of you are just really glad that when the surgeon did the surgery, he used a dull scalpel so it wouldn't hurt as much? Right? No, we all know that if the surgeon is going to do surgery, we want to make sure, all right, that they use sharp needles, right? Nurses say make the needle sharp, all right, and as well sharp scalpels when they do surgery. Now, why do I say that? Because this morning, what are you going to look at? The Word of God is living and active, what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. And so as we look at the passage this morning, basically what the writer of Hebrews is going to say is the fact that the Word of God is a sharp scalpel that does surgery on our hearts. Now, let me ask, anybody here that's had heart surgery? Okay, nobody here. Thank God for that. All right, you all have good hearts. But even when we come to doing heart surgery, I want you to ask you the question, how many of you want the surgeon to use a dull scalpel on heart surgery? And let me ask you this question. If you went to see your cardiologist and your cardiologist said, you have four blocked veins, we need to do quadruple bypass surgery, and we need to do it as soon as possible, how many of you are going to say, is it going to hurt? Because you recognize what the surgeon is going to do is he's going to take his sharp scalpel and he's going to cut open your skin. And when he gets done doing that, he's going to take his saw and he's going to cut open your sternum. And when he gets done doing that, he's going to put some retractors in there and he's going to pull your chest wide open. And guess what? It's going to hurt. And so when we come to this passage this morning and we look at the passage and we recognize that this passage is talking about the Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword that divides between joint and marrow and soul and spirit, and it leaves you exposed before God. Or maybe you're saying, I don't like that idea. But this morning, what I want to do is look at the tremendous benefits there are in the Word of God. And as well, when you do your home study or when you do your small group study, your life group study, you get to look at the benefits that there are to the Word of God. Because God promises us in His Word what He's going to do with the Word. And how effective the Word of God is in doing the work of God in our lives. And when you take the Word of God, because Jesus said, we'll worship in spirit and truth. So when you take the Spirit of God, who convicts and causes us to understand and directs us in the Word of God, and the Word of God, and you allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to have their way in your life. On the one hand, it's a tremendous blessing, but on the other hand, at times it can be painful, can it not? But again, how many of us would tell the surgeon, the cardiac surgeon, no, I don't want to do that because it's going to hurt. Because the surgeon says, if you don't allow me to do it, the results are going to be worse. You're going to what? You're going to die. And so we gladly tell the surgeon, sure, go ahead, do work on my heart. But when it comes to God, we tend to be a little more reluctant, a little less desirous to say, okay, God, here, do a work on my heart. And so this morning, there's a sense in which I could say, we're going to cut you open, examine your heart, and it could hurt. But let's look at it, shall we? Let's look at the characteristics of the Word of God that we get to look at this morning as we study this passage in Hebrews. And see how God uses it, the Spirit of God uses it in our lives this morning. So let's begin. Number one, I'm going to start basic. All right? First characteristic of the Word of God I want to share with you this morning is that the Word of God is special. Now, I use the word special. You can use the word unique if you like. All right? And it simply is to remind us of the fact that this Bible, the Word of God, is different than all other books. It's different than all of the religious texts. And the reason why it's different is because we recognize that this is not just the writing of men. This is not just a compilation of religious thoughts or religious ideas or a good checkoff to-do list that you can do if you want to become a nice person. This is what? The Word of God. All right? And so we begin this in chapter 4. That's what I'm saying. Look at that. For the Word of God is living and active. So let me remind you, how is it that we can say that this is the Word of God? All right? We recognize that it's been given to us by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You'll look at it when you do your home study. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Remind us that the Word of God, that it is inspired of God. It is God breathed. God's breathed into it. It's been given to us by God. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, you're going to look at the reality of the fact that it says there that the word of a prophet is not the words of the prophet who spoke of them, but that the word of prophet is the words of the very Spirit of God who carried them along as they spoke forth the word of God. And so we recognize that the writers of the scriptures continually admit the fact that what has been spoken is the word of God. And so we continue to come back to understand that. Now, I recognize this morning that in essence I'm preaching to the choir. You guys believe that. You know that. You understand that. That's why you're here. But I also recognize this morning that when you get out into the world and you turn on the news and you listen to what's happening and you hear the things that are going on around you and you talk to your people at work, there's a sense in which there's almost this general overlying attitude or underlying attitude that says, if you believe in the Bible, you're an ignorant idiot who won't study science and won't understand things. Am I staying close? And so this morning I want to encourage you in your faith in that way. And also allow you to be able to understand why we believe that which we believe. And so we begin with the fact that the Word of God claims itself to be the Word of God right here. For the Word of God is living and active. But secondly, I want to give another one, and I've talked to this many times before, I've preached on it many times before, but I want to remind you, how can you believe that the Word of God is true, and what sets it apart from the Quran? Or what sets it apart from the Book of Mormon? Or what sets it apart from the other teachings that somebody else might have given? Right? And again, I could spend the whole sermon on this, but I want to go over it real quickly. No other historical document was written over 1,500 years. Now think about that for a moment. 1,500 years from the writing of Job, which was probably one of the first books, or the writing of Moses to Malachi, and then to ending the book of Revelation with John on the Isle of Patmos and the events that occurred there in AD 90. So from before the birth of Jesus, 2,000 years to the time of... What other book could make that claim? Over 1,500 years by 40 different men in three different continents or countries, I guess I'd say, and in three different languages. And it all comes together miraculously to form one book with one message. The redemption of mankind. And so we see the fact that it all fits perfectly together. And so my point is the fact that this book is not just the writings of men. It's been written by God, and yet it still is historically verifiable and accurate. And so we can know that we have the Word of God in our hands. But thirdly, let me put it on here because I want to get through this more quickly than usual. The Word of God is effective in changing lives. I hope all of your hands can go up on this one, but how many of you say the Word of God has changed my life? All right? And we're going to look at this. The Word of God changes our lives in several ways as it directs our life, but ultimately as it confronts our life. When Lynette and I first got married, we would ask ourselves, what makes our relationship different than the friends that we're hanging around with? We have to say, it's our faith and it's our understanding of the Word of God because we seek to live our lives in accordance with the Word of God. So we see that the Word of God is special because it's effective in changing people's lives and in our own lives. We can see how the Word of God has impacted our lives. Secondly, all right, let's go to number two. The first one, the Word of God is unique or special. There's no other book like it. It is the Word of God written down by men, but directed by the Spirit of God. Okay, that's the first point. It's a special book, and you have to start there. It's God's Word given to man, not man's word about God. All right. Now, secondly, right out of the text, I'm making it pretty simple. The Word of God is what? Alive. The Word of God is living. Now, this isn't so much. This one, if you want to, if you're going to do the small groups, take out the pink sheet because you got to fill in the blanks because this one here, I'm going to give you the answers before you get to your thing, okay? The Word of God is alive. How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, the Bible, it was written 2,000 years ago in a language that we don't even speak anymore. The Bible is a dead book written by dead people to tell us what dead people do. And what's this tell us? The Word of God is not dead. It's alive. For unfortunately today, we are more and more hearing the fact and hearing people say that the Word of God is irrelevant to life today. Has anybody else heard that before? The Word of God is an old book. So I put down it's not dead. And then secondly, I put down the fact that it doesn't go stale. All right? It's not dead. It doesn't go stale. It is constantly alive. The Word of God is alive. Now, many of you guys understand and many of you guys know the fact that Lynette and I are going through some legal issues that we have with the estate that's being settled. And so this past week we had to go up to Freeport and see our attorney to kind of see what we need to do as far as the will and taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of. And so we went up to see our attorney. And it's funny because he brings out this nicely bound, I don't think it was gold embossed, but this nicely bound book. And I says, oh, we're going to go back to the book now, huh? And he set it down. He says, yeah, I want to show you. And he opened up the book and he says, this is what the Illinois state statute says. So if we're going to get in any type of debate or any type of argument or come before any type of judge, what's it going to go by? We're going to go by the law. And we're going to go by who can prove the law to the best of their ability. All right, because we're going to go back to the book. All right? And so I thought it interesting that he did that. And I'm thinking, well, every Sunday, what do? We come in here and we go back to the book because we want to see what the book says. Because the book is not stale. All right? Again, I cannot emphasize it enough. I constantly hear people say, it's such an old book. It can't be valuable in today's life. And so I can live my life the way I want to live it because this old book has nothing to do with it. Okay. But the Word of God is what? Alive. It's active. It doesn't go stale. And then lastly, put down here, it doesn't go away. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall be destroyed, but my word will last how long? Forever. It doesn't just go away. We don't need to come up with a new version of it. We don't need, now I understand there's translations and I don't want to recognize the fact that, okay, we kind of keep having to keep doing new translations. But even in that, we understand that the Word of God doesn't go away. It doesn't pass away. For Jesus promises us that it will abide forever. And here the writer to Hebrews says, it's alive. It's living. This past, or a couple of weeks ago, in fact, I've gone back and watched it several times, and even when I was new, I was preparing on this, I was watching a guy by the name of Kevin DeYoung. He's one of the new upcoming theologians that's a pastor of a church down in North Carolina, I believe it is. He was at a Reformed church in Michigan, and now he's gone to a Presbyterian church down in North Carolina, I believe it is. And he basically does the speaker circuit at a lot of the conferences that are out there. And so I listened to him, and his whole sermon was on the sufficiency of Scripture. That the Bible itself is sufficient for all of our needs. And to be able to hear from God, it is sufficient. And he made the point in his message as he turned to this passage and he said, the Word of God is alive. And he asked the question, he said, how many of you pastors have prayed, may this Word come alive in our hearts? Anybody heard that prayer before? May this Word of God come alive. And his point was, it's already alive. We don't need to pray that it comes alive. And the statement he made is that we don't need to pray that it comes alive. We need to pray that dead people are made alive by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is living and active. This word is the living word of God. It is alive. And it does the work of God in our lives. So the word of God is alive. All right, thirdly, you ready? Thirdly, the word of God is, and I'm going right on the text, the word of God is living and, what's the next one? Active. The word of God is active. In other words, the word of God does things. Now, when you take your pink sheet in your small group and you go home and either do it for your devotions or you take this and you go to your life group, you're going to find I have there 8 things the word of God does. As you look through the scriptures, all right? We sang the song this morning. Thank you, dear, for picking it out, or Joelle, whoever picked it out. Thy word is a, what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does the word of God do? It gives us light in our direction. It shows us the way to go. All right. And so we'll look through all those different passages about what the word of God does. But here, let me just kind of help you this morning to coming right out of this passage. And actually, the last two words come out of this passage, the last two things that we do. But let me look at this. The word of God is active. Notice from the text, what does it say it does? It is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. Even to the dividing of soul, joints, and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. So the Word of God is active, and I broke that down to, first of all, the Word of God is active in the sense that it discerns for us. How many of you had a time you're like, gee, I don't know what to do. Should I do this or should I do that? And you open the Word of God, and the Word of God gives you the direction that you need. For the Word of God is discerning of our hearts. And you'll see I put up there, it discerns between what seems right and that which is right. For you know the writer of Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And so it seems right. It seems like the right thing to do. Why wouldn't I want to do that? They said this about me. I'm going to say that about them. They had this comment. I'm not going to let them walk all over me. And then you sit down with your Bible and it says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except that which is edifying for your brothers. Oh, so you mean I can't say that? Or let no malice or anger or slander. I had it all ready to just let them know what they needed to know. The Word of God discerns what's right and what's wrong. And then it goes on to even say it divides. It divides between our intentions and our actions and our motivations. Here it says it divides between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. And all that is, I believe, is a reference to as a surgeon's scalpel is able to very finely divide and very finely cut. So the Word of God is able to distinguish between the bone and the marrow. He's able to make a very close distinction and divides it. So we see here again that the Word of God is active in the fact that it divides us in our intentions and our actions. Well, I wanted to, but I didn't. Well, why did you do that? Well, because, and we see the Word of God speaks unto our hearts and helps us not only to discern, but to divide the way we think. Our hearts. It cuts to the quick of our thoughts and our attitudes of our heart. And then I put down here, it decides what to do and why to do it and when to do it. It actually helps us to decide that which we should do and that which we should not do. Don't be stubborn. Don't be ignorant. Don't run off the mouth. Don't do that. But rather do this. Speak kindly to one another. A soft word, all right, tames an angry heart. And the different things that the scriptures tells us that we need to do in order to make the decisions that we need to decide so that we're able to discern and able to make right judgments in the things that we do. So that we're able to do that which God calls us to do. For we all know what it is. And we've all had times in which our thoughts have been this way, and then the Word of God says, nope, you better do it this way. So the Word of God is active. It discerns, it divides, it decides for us. But then let me go to number four. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. The other word, if you wanted to keep it there, and I had it in my notes, in fact, I almost made it as a fifth point, but I thought, no, I got too many points already, is the Word of God is effective. See, on the one hand, we can look at the fact that the Word of God is active. The Word of God does things. It restores my soul. It gives me strength. It gives me comfort. It helps me in my times of weakness. And all the things that the Word of God does actively. But also the Word of God is effective in doing that which the Spirit of God needs to do when the Spirit of God does surgery to our hearts. So the Word of God is effective to do what God desires it to do. It's powerful. Now again, you're going to look at this when you do the thing this week. I hope that I encourage you guys to do those things. Do I do that? Hopefully you want to go home and, man, I can't wait to get to what Don's talking about. But you're going to see the fact that the Word of God is powerful because it softens hardened hearts. How about you say, there was a time in my life in which my heart was not right with God. I was doing my own thing. I was going the own way. My heart was hardened. Or how many of you know somebody whose heart right now seems to be hardened to the things of God? And all you can do is pray. The Spirit of God is able to use the Word of God to soften somebody's heart. And so we'll see that the Word of God is powerful. It softens hearts. Secondly, put down, it heals wounded hearts. The Word of God is effective in healing wounded hearts. Hearts that have been wounded by past events. Hearts that have been wounded by harmful words. Hearts that have been wounded by things that have been done to them. Now the Word of God is able to be the balm in Gilead that is able to bring healing to your heart for what has happened. And then thirdly, I put down here, it strengthens weak hearts. The Word of God is able to strengthen our hearts when we feel weak. When we feel we can't go on, when we feel we can't continue. You can pick up the Word of God and it'll say, be strong and courageous. You can pick up the Word of God and it'll say, do not be afraid. You can pick up the Word of God and it says, lo, I am with you always, even until the ends of the earth. And you can pick up the Word of God and you recognize the fact that it offers to you strength in your time of weakness. So the Word of God is effective, it's powerful, it strengthens our feeble knees and our weak hearts. The Word of God is powerful. And lastly, the Word of God is personal. The Word of God is personal. On the one hand, it's nice to know that the Word of God is able to do surgery on somebody else's heart. Because they really need it. Right? But notice verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. We studied this morning in our Sunday school class. David walked up on his roof and he looked over top of the roof and he saw a lady next door bathing up top on his roof and he says, "Who is that woman? I want her. Bring her here. I want to do something." And David thought he was the only one who knew. Until Nathan knocked at his door, or Nathaniel knocked on his door and said, "David, you're the man." You see, the Word of God exposes what we thought nobody ever knew. For the Word of God is personal. It reveals that which is hidden. For I want to admit to you this morning, and I want to tell you this morning, everybody comes here and we all have skeletons in our closet that we think nobody else knows about, and they just plain might not know about it. But the Word of God says what? God knows. For everything in all of creation, nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. When we were raising our children, I think I said this before in our message or in Sunday school class, Lynette kept wanting to find a passage in Scripture that says God sees it so He could put it above their door of all the kids' bedrooms. God sees it. God knows it. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. And the Word of God is what God, and the Word of God is the tool that God uses to excise it from our hearts, to remove it. It reveals that which is hidden. I put down here, it removes that which is fake. I have been in church long enough, growing up, in the ministry now, in the pastorate. I know it happens here, but I want to believe it doesn't happen as often as it maybe could happen, that all of us walk in the door of this church and somebody greets you and says, "Hi, how's it going?" And we all say, "It's going fine." But the Word of God reveals that which is fake. And we can come dressed up all nice and fancy. In fact, I even put a suit jacket on this morning, right? I wore this to the wedding yesterday, so I figured it might be nice to wear it here as well today, this morning. But we all come dressed up nice, and everything's all cozy. Everything's all cute. Everything looks so good. But we all know the Word of God exposes our fakeness. I thought about it as I was doing the sermon. In fact, I can't remember if it was last night or this morning. And maybe we'll do it. We need to have a grub day. You know what I'm talking about? We need to have a day when everybody comes just plain in their grubbies. Why? Because in our grubbies is the way we are we not? Let me ask you this question. If kids can wear their pajamas to school these days, can we not have one day in church where we wear our grubbies? In fact, if we did that, you guys might get comfortable doing it and want to do it more often. But the Word of God reveals our grubbies. Notice what it says. All of creation, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight, for everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The first word there means, which actually here it's translated, everything is uncovered. Literally, it's the word everything is made naked. Now, I'm not going to have a naked day. All right? But let me ask you this question. Mark's not here, or I could have him affirm it. Dick might be able to affirm it. If you get picked up by an ambulance and you are taken to the hospital from a car accident, what are they going to do on the way there? Get the scissors out. Remember, did your mom and dad ever say this? How many have said it, right? Be sure you wear clean underwear because you don't want to get in an accident. Because if you don't wear clean underwear and you get in an accident, they're going to cut that underwear off and they're going to see how dirty you are. That's what it's talking about. The Word of God strips all of our pretenses away and exposes us as naked before God. And then not only does it reveal the hidden, remove the fake, it reminds us of our needs. It lays there, it says, and lays it bare before God. Scholars differ on that, but I believe the word has to do, as I did a little bit of the Greek study, I didn't do a lot of it on this, but it has to do with the trachea. The word is it's trachea something, okay? And it's used to the idea of a wrestler who is able to grab you around the throat. And if they get you around the throat, what happens? You're in trouble. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever watched WWF? What's WWF got to do with ministry, right? What that got to do with the Word of God? Well, number one, they're both true. No, I can't say that. But it is the idea. The idea here is of a wrestler getting a hold of your neck and getting you. It used to be called the Ganya sleeper in my days. And if Vern Ganya gets you in the sleeper, you're a goner. Now, I know that they have kind of the same thing in the whole, what's the extreme stuff now, you know, where they got the sleeping moves, they kind of do the same thing. But that's what it's talking about. Laid bare. Made vulnerable before God. And when we read the Word of God, it exposes our vulnerabilities before God. But isn't it good to know our God is a healer? Our God is a comforter. Our God knows and cares and is concerned. But until we see our need, we feel we don't need the help. And the Word of God reminds us of our need. And then fourthly, I put down here, restores the faith. Everything is uncovered and made vulnerable, exposed before the eyes to whom we must give an account. Now, lest we go away saying, oh, wow, someday I'm going to have to stand before God and everything is going to be exposed unto God. Let me tell you, it's not someday, it's now. It's anytime we open the Word of God and it exposes us. And so God uses His Word to do surgery on our hearts. For it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we need to have the faith to believe that when God's Word does His work on our hearts, that it's necessary. For when the cardiologist says you got 5 blocked or 4 blocked arteries in your heart, I have to do quadruple bypass surgery, and we need to do it as soon as possible. We don't argue. But when God says, I've got a word, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's alive and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, we kind of want to say, I'll get to it tomorrow, God. Because I know if I study today, you're going to speak to my heart. May God's word, which is alive and active, cut to the very division of our intentions and our motivations and our actions, so that it can do the work in our hearts that God would have it to do. Are you willing to say, God, let your word do its work in my life? Amen? Amen.